are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Connington, and joining me, as always, it's Mike Giletto.
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, and it's been like 250-something days since the Eagles last lost a game.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Anyway, before we dive into that, which we will, don't you worry, I'm here to tell you, you can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, lastwordonsports.com, and our brand new YouTube page, as well as on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can find Mike at Mike_Giletto and me at K Collington. Now, let's get into it. The Eagles won.
The Eagles won.
That's the big news. We're not going to bury the lead.
Right.
The Eagles won. The Eagles are 1-0.
They're leading their division.
They're leading the NFL at time of recording.
That's true.
At time of recording, 10:35 a.m. on Sunday morning, the Eagles have the best record in the NFL.
That is true.
Now, that'll change at about 4 o'clock.
Yep. But
for now, we're on top of this. We're on top of the football world.
It was
the defending Super Bowl champions.
Uh-huh. It was an ugly game, but hey, it's a W.
Oh, the game was ugly.
It was ugly. It was sort of...
First of all, the game was delayed about 35, 40 minutes due to some lightning.
Yep.
And then once the game got started, man.
It was just Mother Nature's way of saying, I want the Eagles to be champions for just another half hour.
I mean, we're still champs until February.
That's true.
You're champs until the next champ.
Right.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Exactly. But right now, they're the man.
Yeah, the Eagles are 1-0. It was a real ugly game.
It was ugly.
Week two, week three, kind of expect that. Because players don't play a lot in preseason.
Exactly. Nowadays, preseason's so watered down that the first game or two of the NFL season is usually the preseason.
Yeah, that's usually really, really rough.
So
the other big story, Carson Wentz did not play.
Correct.
We don't really have a timeline on when he will play.
Nope.
For now, it looks like it's Nick Foles' party for a little while.
Yeah, I'm here in week 4 or 5.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And I said it on the show a couple weeks ago. Even if you lose 3 out of your first 4, if Carson Wentz comes back and is back and full 100% for the last 12 weeks of the season, you're going to win 9 or 10 of those games.
Right.
And if that's the case, you're going to make the playoffs because the division is so bad. So... it's fine. And then we got the big win, right? Atlanta was the tough one.
They were tough. It was a little bit of deja vu, too. The last play of the game.
The last play, yeah. It came down just like that NFC playoff game.
Came down to Julio Jones just making a simple catch. And I said it, you know, last week that 9 times out of 10, he makes that catch. Apparently not. Maybe it's 8 out of 10. Maybe if he catches, maybe if he gets the next 8, maybe he'll
be
good.
To be fair, he made the catch. He just couldn't get his feet.
Right.
But, and that's on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan did not look good.
No, he didn't.
And
but I don't know if that's him not looking good or if that's a testament to how well the Eagles defense played, because they did play well. Their special teams was a mess, but the defense played well.
They had a little bit of missed a couple wide open receivers.
Yeah,
and that's not the defense,
but they had a little bit of the bend but don't break type of mentality.
Yeah.
They look good though.
Atlanta kicked 2 field goals in the first half.
Right.
Yeah, I think the Eagles got booed off the field at the end of the first half, didn't they?
Yeah.
In a 6-3 hideous game. You heard what Jason Kelce said after the game?
No.
He said he likes that they booed him off the field. He was worried that the fans would get a little content and get a little soft. So getting booed off the field after the first half, he was like, okay, cool. They still have their edge. They're still hungry.
Yeah.
And that's good. And
I've grown to like Jason Kelce. I hated him for the longest time, and maybe that's what it was. But I've always hated him before that whole thing.
Did you see the video of the guy in the parking lot dressed up like the mummer?
No, that's funny.
Oh, dude, it's great.
No, I didn't
he
see
was
that.
Dressed up like Mummer Kelce. He kind of vaguely looked like Kelce. He had the big old beard. He was kind of short and a little on the bigger side.
Right.
And he did the whole speech at a podium that they built. Like, they had a fake, like, cardboard podium, and he did the whole entire speech, and the whole crowd was shouting it along with him.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, it was so much fun. You got
to
look at it.
I have to look that up.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Videos are all over Twitter.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. That's funny.
Yeah, that speech is going down. We talked about it shortly after it happened. It's up there with Chase Utley. I think it might have passed it.
I think it did.
I don't know if it's the better speech. I think it will be remembered better.
Yeah.
Because important the Eagles are to the city.
Yeah, and it was more thought out, right. Obviously. You know, Utley didn't know what he was going to say. He was bombed.
He was hammered,
just got up to the stadium.
World Bleeping Champions.
Yeah, exactly. But Kelce, that was almost written. Like, yeah, he studied that overnight.
And that's honestly why I think Chase Utley's might have been better.
Maybe.
Because Jason Kelce's was a little... It wasn't rehearsed, but you could tell he put some thought into it.
Yeah, I just like the Kelce's I don't give an F attitude.
Right.
And the whole thing.
I agree.
That's...
But Chase Utley wandered up to the podium and just spoke from the heart.
Right.
And it was pure and it was honest.
Yeah.
By the way, since we mentioned Chase Utley, I'll say it now. Ryan Howard officially announced his retirement.
Yep.
So, Phillies Hall of Famer?
Phillies Hall of Famer, yeah.
MLB Hall of Famer?
No. Only because
Jersey retired?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He didn't do it long enough. I mean, if he didn't have that Achilles injury... He had the chance to be one of the best power hitters ever. He was on that track. I mean, his rookie season was great. The year after that was great. It's a shame what happened to him injury-wise.
Yeah, and he was never the best at the plate. He never had the best eye. For years we heard about if you throw Ryan Howard a breaking ball away with two strikes, you're getting the strikeout. Right? Because he never had the discipline to lay off that pitch. And he struck out at that pitch 200 times a year for 5 years in a row.
Right.
But regardless, Ryan Howard was a huge part of that World Series team. And it's weird to see that World Series team going down one by one. Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Shane Victorino.
Is anybody left?
And now Ryan Howard.
Is he the last one?
Cole Hamels.
Okay. Obviously. Cole Hamels.
I
know he was last a part of the Seattle Mariners organization.
Okay.
I don't know if he's still there, though.
Well, it depends on if he's gotten his Adderall recently.
Exactly. He needs that Adderall.
Who else was on? I'm trying to think of the young guys on that team. Because, like, Pat Burrell's gone. Raul Ibanez is gone. I think that might be it.
It might be.
I'm trying to think who else was on that team. Cliff Lee is gone. Brad Lidge is gone. Matt Stairs is gone.
J-Hap was on the team.
Yep. Jason Worth retired last year.
Yeah.
So it's Cole Hamels and J-Hap, and that's about it.
J-Hap. I don't think Kyle Kendrick's in the league. Is he?
I don't think. I doubt it. He was never very good, so as soon as his talent dips a little tiny bit, it's just
Ryan Madsen, I believe, is still in the league.
That may be somewhere.
He last was with Oakland, but I don't know if he's still there. And that's really all I see.
Turns out when something was 10 years ago, the average career is less than 10 years.
Jason Worth, I think, retired earlier in the year.
He retired at the end of last year.
And then the last year, that's what it was. Okay. I think it's just those two or three guys.
Yeah, that team is starting to fall. And Cole Hamels is coming to the end of his rope.
I don't know about that. Because, as soon as he got traded to the Cubs, he's been lights out.
Yeah, but that's because you're... And he did that a couple years ago when he got traded to Texas. He was lights out. And then a couple years later, he kind of fell off the radar. And at a certain point, you just run out of steam. This might be his last gasp. He wants that ring. He wants another World Series. He's going for it with the Cubs. And if he doesn't get it, he's what, 35, 36? Like, he's getting old.
Right.
So he can't have too much time left.
Yeah, no, you're probably right there. It happened 10 years ago,
right,
which is insane to say.
Right. But he might be working his way into a one-year contract for next year. He might have one more year left in him.
Right.
But there's no way Cole Hamels has 3 or 4 years left. Not at that age.
Not at that level. Like, he might do like what Jamie Moyer did and just hold on.
Yeah, but that's different. Jamie Moyer never taxed his arm. That's the thing. Jamie Moyer never threw
different.
The ball 95.
No, he was all about location. And he didn't throw. He pitched.
Exactly.
I mean, that's exactly what he did.
Exactly.
So.
And it worked for him, but it doesn't work for anybody else.
Right.
Okay, anyway, back to the Eagles. I don't know how we got down the Jamie Moyer rabbit hole.
I don't know either.
But the Eagles won. Ugly game.
A little bit of deja vu, like I said.
Yeah, and speaking of deja vu, they didn't run the Philly special. I hate the fact that people call it that. They ran the play that the Patriots ran.
Yeah, well, it was...
No.
It was similar. I mean, they know what they were doing.
It wasn't the direct snap to the running back. That's the difference. It was the play the Patriots ran. It was the play that Tom Brady dropped.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles caught it for a nice little completion, I believe on third down.
It was on third down. And it was a big play because, the offense was doing nothing all game.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it gave some sort of spark.
Ugly.
Yeah, it gave them some sort of spark that they needed. Not that the offense was world beating after that, but...
But it was enough to beat the Falcons.
Of course.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
All you have to do is beat the person in front of you.
Hey, they're 1-0, so...
Yep, Eagles are 1-0. In case we didn't mention that already. But yeah, it was a gutsy call by Doug.
Well,
because he's been asked about it a bunch, and he goes, "Oh, it's not in our playbook.
Right?
It's not. We're not calling it. It's not in our playbook."
Well, he's not going to tip his hand at all. Right. He
didn't want to tell you who his starting quarterback was.
Exactly.
No, Doug is super secretive, and I respect that.
And
but
after the Patriots game, the Super Bowl showed us he's got balls of steel. So
I agree.
He's going to be a gutsy play caller from this point on.
I just don't want. I don't want him to feel like he has to call a special trick gimmick play in every game. Because if you call the gimmick plays over and over, eventually they just stop working.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's going to be similar to the Chip Kelly situation. Right, when Chip Kelly came in, I mean, he basically evolved the NFL.
I agree.
And he was ahead of the curve almost, but then everybody caught up in year two.
Right, but remember when, a couple years ago, when the Dolphins started, I forget the name of the formation, the direct snap to the running back, and then the running back would...
The Wildcat.
That's it.
Was it the Dolphins that started that?
Yeah, they started against the Patriots. And then three...
That had to have been years ago, because there's no way that...
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Three weeks later, every team in the league had a Wildcat package.
Right.
The next season, everyone had a Wildcat package, and then it disappeared.
Yeah. So, was it started with the Dolphins? Because,
yeah.
I mean,
they pulled it out of nowhere.
I mean, it probably went back, though, to the Kaepernick days. I mean, Kaepernick used to... They did it with him all the time.
Well, that's different.
Well, I guess they really did the read option, really.
Yeah, exactly. They do the RPO.
Yeah, I guess it's a little different.
But the direct snap to the running back, and then sometimes the running back throws it. The actual true Wildcat.
Right, it's true. Because they had Jarvis Landry, and Jarvis Landry's got wheels, so.
Right.
So I guess that makes they probably snapped it to him.
I think it was in 2012, okay. 11, 10. Okay. It was a while ago at this point. But they started it.
And you really don't see it much anymore.
Right, exactly. Because everyone game planned for it. Right, the team that showed up against Miami next week had a game plan for it, and it didn't really work. But within a couple of weeks, teams not only had their own Wildcat package, but they had a game plan against it. If you remember, it was in Madden 13, 14, 15,
right.
And then by the time 16, 17 rolled around, they took it out because teams just weren't using it.
Right.
And it's not to say that teams don't have athletic quarterbacks, athletic people, because they do. It just teams don't run it because they game plan for it.
Yeah, the defenses have evolved.
Exactly.
I mean, the same way they evolved in the Chip Kelly situation.
Right. The no huddle, keep the pace of play moving, have the ball for 6 minutes a game. Yeah.
Right.
But because that worked out. Right. How'd that work out? It worked great against the Redskins when he pulled it out and they scored 49 points and 400 yards in the first half or whatever they did that first game. And then by year three, your team was just tired and awful.
Yeah. What's he doing right now? Is he winning?
Chip Kelly?
Yeah, I know he's at UCLA. What's their record?
I couldn't care less about Chip freaking Kelly.
Oh, they got blown out by Oklahoma this weekend. 49-21.
Good.
Yep. So there you go. That's our Chip Kelly breakdown.
Yeah. There's your Chip Kelly update that no one asked for.
They're 0-2. There you go.
Yep. There's the Chip Kelly update that nobody asked for. So who do the Eagles have next week? Let's do a little preview.
Who do they have next week? Hold on. I had the schedule up. I was still on this week. Oh, they have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's a dub. That's a three-touchdown win.
A three-touchdown win, you say? With Nick Foles at the helm?
Yep.
Okay.
Because who does Tampa Bay have?
I mean, they have Jameis Winston and Mike Evans are really good players.
Sure.
They are really good players.
Who's on their offensive line? Eagles have the best defensive line. One of the best lines in football.
Yeah.
You can tear him to shreds.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston can't do anything if he doesn't have time.
It's also in Tampa, if that makes any difference for you.
It doesn't matter at all.
Okay. But yeah, they play Tampa 1 o'clock next Sunday. Yep. Yeah. So, should be a fun game to watch. You don't have to kind of... Because Atlanta's a good team.
Yeah, you were worried about Atlanta. I'm not worried about Tampa.
And we were both wrong on our predictions.
We were both wrong. And honestly... I haven't been this happy to be wrong about an Eagles prediction since the NFC Championship game.
Right, exactly.
Because I believe we both predicted a loss there.
Yeah. What did we predict in the Super Bowl? Did we both predict a win?
I think I did. I don't know. I'll
have to go back and listen to it.
But yeah, it was nice to see the boys back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they made you wait an extra half hour. Did you see the people refusing to leave the stands during the lightning delay?
No,
there were people. The cops were like trying to usher them out. Yeah. People were
They were jacked up for sure. But hey, I mean, you can't be that angry. It gives you another half hour to drink some more beer.
Exactly. And the banner got unveiled and it looks great.
Yep.
So, I mean, Doc's great, man. Yeah.
The banner's a little small for my liking, but you know.
Well, they got to leave room for the next one.
Right. I wanted to see that thing from space.
They got to leave room for the next one, my man.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe they'll get a dome cover for the link, and then on top, it'll just
there
be...
There you go.
Eagles 2017 Super Bowl champion, so you can see it from an airplane.
There you go. Perfect. That's all we Perfect. Need.
But no, Doc fired the crowd up. He introduced the banner. You could tell it hurt his heart that he wasn't out there for it.
Right.
Like, you could tell he loves this team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, people forget that he spent his last couple of years in Denver, but he's an Eagle.
Oh, of course.
Through and through. Yeah. And the fact that you know, honestly, we've talked about number retirement a lot on this show. 20 should be retired.
You think so?
Yeah. 100%.
Maybe you will one day.
100%.
Maybe you will.
He's already in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I assume he's in the Eagles Hall of Fame, Walk of Fame, Probably. Ring of Honor, yeah. whatever they call it. I don't think anybody should wear 20.
Okay.
Can you look up the roster for me and figure out if anybody's wearing 20 right now?
Sure. Hold on.
Because to me, Brian Dawkins is... He doesn't... It's not even about the on-field play so much. It's about the attitude. He is an Eagle. Through and through, he defines a whole genre, a whole era of Philadelphia Eagles play. And he did it at a high level. He was the guy in that Jim Johnson defense with the hard hits and the blitzing and the pressure. And that was all him. And he just laid the boom.
Nobody wears number 20.
Good. It should stay that way.
Okay.
You wear 20.
I don't have a problem with it.
I'm disappointed.
I don't have a problem with it at all.
With retiring or if somebody wanted to wear it?
Oh, retiring it. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah. And I don't think 5 should be retired.
It is already.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's dumb. That's as bad as Lindros.
Wow. Okay. Maybe that's a debate for a different day.
I mean, the comparisons are there. Think about it. High pick, made it to the finals and lost with some controversy, some injuries. There's definitely some comparisons there. Anyway, back to the Eagles. They're 1-0. They're looking to move to 2-0 next week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll see what they do today after the recording. And see what we have to look forward to next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Eagles have 10 days to look at tape, celebrate, study, and move on. And then in a couple of weeks, they go to London.
That is true.
That's going to be so cool, man.
Yeah, and you get to wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Lovely. I don't know what we're going to do for the show that day.
I know. Maybe I'll get a TV here in the studio and we could live broadcast this game. We could give our own opinions as the game's being played.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a couple weeks away. We got some time to figure that one out. I think we're going to move on, right? And nothing else really to talk about. We talked about this team.
That game's not until the 28th of October.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's that far in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's about it. We talked about pretty much everything Eagles.
Yeah.
Let's move to another team who's looking to make a push for the playoffs. And, of course, I'm talking about the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
3.5
games
out.
It's looking bleak.
Well, see, but last week they were 4 games out. This week, they're 3.5 games out.
Sure. That could easily go to 4.
I understand. But it was 2.5, you know, until the Braves played last night.
Right. And listen, right now, it's neither team, like, wants to win the division. Both teams are losing. Like, I think in the last 10, the Phillies are, like, 4-6. And then the last 10, the Braves are, like, 3-7.
Yeah.
Like, they're both losing games.
I agree. And I talked last week about just staying within striking distance. And if the Phillies make up, let's say the Phillies make up one game this week, and this time next week they're 2.5, let's say they make up a game and a half, and they're 2 games back next week. At that point, you still have 7 of your last 11 against the Braves. So you still have plenty of time to strike and pass them. You only have to win 5. You have to win 5 out of the 7
right,
to definitively pass them.
But I think it's easier said than done.
I know.
Win 5 of 7 games.
But you're giving
yourself dominance.
But you're giving
point.
Yourself a chance.
Of course.
5 of 7 isn't really dominance. If you win both series, if you win 2 out of 3 the first time and 3 out of 4 the second time, or flip that if I'm wrong. But yeah. It's good, but it's only one game above a split.
Right.
So it's not really, you don't have to win 7 out of 7. Although if you can win 7 out of 7, lock up a playoff spot, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But regardless, the Phillies kind of look like they don't want to win it. But the Braves kind of look more like they don't want to win
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Phillies might get into the playoffs.
Maybe. I don't know. It's a combination of a whole bunch of things that just aren't going right. They're not hitting. They're not pitching. Their coaching's been mediocre. It's just everything right now, for some reason, just doesn't look right.
Yeah. Gabe Kapler continues to astound with his lineup decisions.
Yeah. Batting Carlos Santana leadoff, which lead is off. Nuts. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's super strange. Maybe he'll figure it out, right? Maybe he's working his way to a lineup that works. And if he figures it out in time, then this team has a chance. This team has some talent.
Right.
I don't think this team has the talent to beat the juggernauts in the NL, right? I don't think you can beat the Chicagos or the St. Louis's or,
which is weird. They just called St. Louis a juggernaut because by the All-Star break, they were out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, what have they done since the All-Star break?
They've been nuts. They've been the hottest team in baseball.
Exactly, and they're looking to crush. They're looking to make a run.
Yeah.
A genuine, honest run.
Yeah. I don't think
the Phillies have the firepower to make it past one of those teams.
Or the Dodgers. And they sure as hell don't have firepower to beat the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros.
Right. I'm just talking about the NL.
Yeah.
So, we'll see where it goes. Phillies could win a playoff series, make it to the NLCS. Probably not making it past that.
No,
to be
probably
honest.
Not. They don't have consistent hitting. They don't have.
But again,
pitching.
Any playoff experience for a young team?
Oh, for sure. Playoff experience would be huge. I mean, that's what we talked about with the Flyers last year. It was a young team. Let's just get them some experience. But
exactly.
I mean, you get Rhys Hoskins. You know, it looks like he's going to be a stud, even though he's been struggling of late. He looks like he's going to be a stud. They got some young pitchers on this team.
Yeah, they're definitely trending upward.
Yeah, for sure. Then you never know, maybe they sign a Machado or Harper.
Yeah, exactly. That honestly, if you sign Machado or Harper this offseason, you're instantly a World Series contender next year.
You think
this
so?
This team,
bat-wise, I would say yes, but I still don't know if pitching is going to be there.
I think this team is trending upward. And if you take this team that's trending upward and you throw in a superstar, I think combined with player growth, it does good things for you.
And by pitching, I mean relief pitching. Because they're starting pitching earlier in the year
right.
was the main reason they're in this position anyway.
Well,
like the starting pitching won them a lot of games early on.
Look at it like this. I'm going to compare them directly to the Flyers. Last season, you just said the Phillies were kind of like the Flyers of last season.
Sure.
This season, we expect the Flyers to do much better because they have JVR.
Right.
And that's a huge signing. Regardless of where he plays or, you know, what exactly the line combinations are, it's a huge signing that you expect to add 30 to 35 goals to your production. Take a Phillies team, add Bryce Harper, who's going to throw in 35 to 40 home runs.
Right.
And 95 to 110 RBI. It's a similar addition.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption or analogy.
And we're honestly looking at the Flyers as potential to make a deep run.
Sure.
So the Phillies next year.
So you add a guy like Harper, maybe they do make a deep run.
The Phillies have potential to make a deep run next year.
Yeah. But
and then the Phillies' shortcomings in relief pitching is kind of like the Flyers' shortcomings in goal.
Right.
Yeah. Where it's a necessary part of the game that you need, but you can win a lot of games in spite of that weakness.
Right.
If the Flyers score 9 goals, you know, they can win.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And it doesn't matter if they give up 7 because they have a bad goalie. If you score 9, you win. And I know I'm exaggerating.
Right.
But if the Phillies score 12 runs, it doesn't matter if your reliever gives up 4.
Right.
So, you know, I actually, we're going to transition into our Flyers preview.
Okay.
But before we do that, we're going to take a little bit of a break. And I believe we are coming back with a special guest.
Yeah, I think so.
We're going to go work on the text for that, or we're going to go work on the tech for that. And we may be coming back with a special guest. So we're going to go work on that, and we'll be right back. And we're back, and we're joined by a special guest. This man is known online in the competitive NHL scene as Agent Zero. We're joined by Charlie. Charlie, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. It's good to have you here. We've been working on this for a while, and it's I'm glad we finally got it worked out.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm sorry it kind of took a little bit to get linked up, but pretty excited.
That was on us too. No big deal.
Yeah.
You did a little bit of Flyers representing at the U.S. Regional Championships for NHL 18. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was definitely outnumbered. There's a lot of Penguins fans, unfortunately.
Oh,
but,
that sucks.
Definitely went in repping the Flyers.
It hurts my heart to see that the Penguins are one of the big competitive teams.
Yeah, and I unfortunately had to use them as well because it was kind of the meta, so
yeah,
I had to double down.
And now you live up in New England, but for a while you lived in the Philly area, right?
Yeah, actually in Harrisburg.
Okay.
About an hour and a half out, but yeah, pretty much. Grew up big Flyers fan, whole life. So
yeah, it was definitely good to see a little bit of Flyers representation on the big stage. It's a shame that they weren't super viable in the competitive metagame, but
yeah, for some reason they didn't have enough like a good mix of lefty and righties. That was kind of the big.
Well,
thing.
You also had Matt Reed.
One-timers.
You also had Matt right. Reed and Val Filppula on your team. So
yeah, exactly.
It makes it a little tough. And your boy Michael Raffel. I know you're a big Raffel fan.
Yeah, definitely.
are you a big Raffel fan?
No.
No.
Do they exist?
No. So are you excited for NHL 19? That drops this week in case our listeners didn't know.
Yeah. I got to play it a little bit. Did the EA Access thing on Xbox.
Okay.
And it seems like it's going to be pretty good. They took out a lot of the kind of the go-to scoring things.
The quote-unquote like glitch goals?
Keys, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's going to take a little bit of adjustment that way, like figuring out how to score the best way.
So Mike's not going to score anymore.
Yeah, that's probably... No.
Maybe, Mike's going to have a tough time.
Yeah, and I played the beta.
Beta was great.
Yeah, and the big thing that stood out to me was the skating just seems so much better, so much more fluid.
Yeah, it's nice. I don't know if you got a chance to use like the LT or the left trigger back skate.
Yeah,
but that's really, really viable, like spinning around and kind of creating space using that.
Yeah,
so I definitely think that'll be a big kind of a skill gap thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, and watching
how well you're able to use it.
Yeah, watching the regional finals from around the world and then the grand finals that were in Vegas. It's amazing to see how much the top tier players use the back skate as a tool to create space in the offensive zone.
Yeah. Yep. It really can throw people off. I had a really hard time last year defending it. So that's like been a really big focus of mine going into this year.
Now Mike has gone on record on this show.
You're going to put me on blast here. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. As saying he could beat any one of these guys. Because he doesn't...
I'm confident.
He doesn't view the skill gap as big as it is.
Yeah, I think I'm confident. I think I can hold my own.
Now, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played Mike, but, you know, if he thinks he's got it, you know, maybe we can fire up a game, see how he does.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do something.
Going into this...
I played you on your stream, and we had a pretty close game at one point.
Yeah, we did.
That was a really tight game. I think it was 1-1 after the second. It was a close game.
I always blow Kyle out, so I don't know.
No, you don't. We play good competitive games. You knock it off. But yeah,
Kyle, you're pretty good. I cannot lie.
I appreciate that, and I am actually gonna take a look at maybe doing some qualifiers this year when tournaments start rolling around.
Definitely, yeah. Everything's open.
Yeah, where do you see NHL going as an esport? Do you see like HUT, online versus EASHL 3s, 6s? Like where do you think they're going?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to stay in the one-on-one seen just like kind of the how Madden's doing it.
Right.
I know a lot of people want to see the sixes and that stuff. I just don't think there's enough eyes right now to kind of support that type of prize pool for that amount of people. I just know the one-on-one was pretty successful last year. I think the best route to go would be through like the hut system and do maybe a salary cap.
Okay.
Kind of how they do it in the Madden. But I think for now they're going to probably stick to the versus. I know there's going to be a lot of community-driven EASHL tournaments, which will be good.
Right.
Like I said, though, I just don't think right now there's enough eyes to support that a prize pool for that. Like 2K has their league, but it's just so popular. I just don't think NHL is there yet. So I think this year it'll kind of stick to the one-on-one, and then maybe years to come, some sixes, but just not enough eyes right now.
I think it's definitely grown, though. I mean, I was flipping through the channels when the whole thing was going on, and it was on, like, NBC Sports Philadelphia, you know, here. So it seems like it's definitely grown.
It's gaining some momentum for sure, and I think this year will be a big stepping stone, and it's going to take kind of a whole effort from the community to just kind of stream and put out content and really kind of just put the game out there.
Yeah, I know there's a bunch of content creators who are running tournaments on a pretty regular basis. And I think that's huge for the game. And you just kind of grow and develop a community and it'll start taking off, right? The esports don't pop up overnight. And it's coming from a community grassroots perspective. And at the base of it, I think a better game in NHL 19 will just lead to better competitive play.
Yeah, and so far the general consensus from a lot of the big guys in the community is that 19 is very fun to play. So
yeah,
I think if you have a game that's going to be really fun, a lot of people are going to play it. I know, too, TDI was thinking about throwing, like, there's that Fortnite Friday that Keemstar was doing. You kind of want to copy that model for an NHL tournament every Friday, like an invitational for certain players and kind of do it that way. So I think that would help, too. Just having kind of a consistent thing that everyone can tune into. That way it's not kind of just sporadic, like, oh, there's a tournament this weekend, but there was one last weekend. So you kind of have a repeat audience coming in. I think that's a really good idea.
I think repetition definitely makes a ton of sense there. Just like you said, developing that schedule and that reliability where people can tune in every Saturday at 2 p.m. and know that there's a tournament starting.
Right. Consistency.
And it gives people something to strive for if it's an invitational, right? You want to be good enough to get invited to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, what are your goals for NHL 19 from a competitive standpoint? Like, do you want to make it back to the U.S. regionals? Do you want to make it to Vegas?
My goal is just to get back to regionals. Last year, I got pretty lucky as far as kind of my bracket setup. I didn't really run into a lot of the big dogs. A lot of guys got knocked out pretty early. But that's my big goal. I just want to be kind of prove that I'm a consistent player, get back to at least the regional. And then my other goal is actually to go to the content creation side, YouTube and Twitch primarily. So I think kind of just, I guess, developing my brand a little more is my biggest goal. But then obviously getting back to the regional is the number one thing on my mind.
Yeah, talking about your brand, you're known as Agent Zero online. Where'd that come from?
You know what? PS4, when The Division was coming out, I don't know if you guys have ever played that.
Yeah,
it's kind of like an MMO shooter hybrid. I think it's an awesome game. But anyways, when that was coming out, the big thing was that you're an agent. So I don't know why. I just thought it was cool. Like Agent Zero, like the first one, and I pre-ordered it and kind of nerded it out. So that's where it came from, and it just kind of stuck.
Okay, can't get any better than that.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Now we're gonna transition a little bit here. Speaking of a great story, we got in touch with you because you're running a charity event in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's September 23rd. I'm gonna start around 9 a.m. Eastern. It's to raise money for the Epilepsy Foundation, the Central PA branch specifically.
Okay.
Right out of Harrisburg. My family and I do a walk. I mean, I haven't been able to get down there, but there's a walk in August every year to raise money. So that's kind of the branch's big thing, and it helps. The money's going to help go to that, and then there's some research that they do. So
yeah,
September 23rd, 9 a.m. Eastern.
That's amazing. And we can find you on Twitch at Agent Zero, X-E-E-R-O.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the spelling is a little different, but yeah, it's X-E-E-R-O.
That's all right. We'll make sure to let you throw out all your socials at the end of the show.
Okay.
But yeah, that seemed like a great event. Honestly, there's no, you don't really need a reason to raise money for charity, but the fact that you have your mom to kind of fall back on is great. And you know, raising money for a good cause is always absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that it hits you close to home is just another reason to do it.
Yeah, I was just going to add on, usually every year I'll just kind of, for her birthday or for the anniversary of her passing, I'll just kind of sulk around. But this year I had the idea, you know, why not make it at least a little productive and try, you know, try something different this year. So I'm pretty excited, and 100% of the donations, proceeds or whatever are going to go directly to that. So any help's, you know, appreciated.
Yeah, that's amazing. And when we get a little closer, we're definitely going to make sure to retweet a bunch of stuff from you about that.
Yeah, try to get our followers on you. Every week I'm going to kind of put out a reminder, and having some of the bigger guys plug it, and they've been really helpful in that way. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Now, where can people go donate?
People can go donate at, there's a link on my Twitter. Just type in Epilepsy Foundation donation on Google, it's like one of the first links, but
it's
put that on my Twitter.
Sudep.news, SUDEP.NEWS.
Yeah, and that site's more for the awareness of SUDEP. It's sudden unexpected death epilepsy.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. The donation link is donate.epilepsy.com/donate.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, man, it's an incredible thing that you're doing. It's tough to take the loss of a loved one and turn it into a positive thing, and it's really good to see that you're doing that.
I appreciate it.
As best you can.
It's not easy. Yeah.
But what do you say we bring the conversation to a little bit of a lighter note?
Sure.
What do you think the Flyers are going to do this year? Like, give us your full season prediction for the boys. You added JVR. Sure. Addition by subtraction with Val Filppula and Brandon Manning and
they
Matt
still
Reed.
Have Delwee, so there's that.
I don't know. Real quick, I don't know how you guys think about it, but I prefer Manning over McDonald.
I actually do too. I'm on record saying that Manning, I think, was the best Flyer in that Penguin series. Maybe other than Couturier, but I think Manning was the second best Flyer in that Penguin series.
Provorov was a superhero too.
Yeah, but for this year, I don't know. I expect them to at least go to the playoffs.
I think the team's better than last year.
This year.
Yeah, I think the team's better than last year. I think you could see this team in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, really elite in the back. Really going to be the biggest thing I'm going to be looking for this year is if Giroux can like have another huge season like last year.
Yeah.
Because he's getting a little older, I guess. But last year is wicked impressive moving to the wing. So I'm hoping that he can kind of keep up that consistency. That would be really big.
He's still only 30 years old.
Really?
It's incredible. Claude is like 30 or 31. It just seems insane because he's been around forever.
Yeah, it really has.
But it's definitely going to be interesting to see if he can put up another, you know, big season like that. It's an absolute travesty that he wasn't nominated for the Hart.
Oh, yeah. No, that's sickening. And people think that's
disgusting.
He didn't do as good 5-on-5 or something that matters.
Stop.
I don't get it.
No.
Do you put stock into analytics and Corsi and all that?
Yeah, to a point. But when people kind of argue, oh, he had less points 5-on-5 than power play, it's like, I don't care, you know, how you get your points. If you're helping your team get, how much did he have? 103
102,
or something?
102, yeah.
102?
Including a hat trick on the last day of the season.
Yeah, the last game to get him into the play. Exactly.
Unreal.
I don't know.
He had the most
stock into it. But.
Yeah, he had the most points by anybody not named Connor McDavid. So there's that.
It's absolutely unreal the disrespect he gets across the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
and the whole team,
everyone
really.
Just doesn't think he's good. Yeah.
I think Ghost is going to be a Norris finalist this year.
That's your bold prediction,
really?
Huh?
Yeah. Give us a hot take for the NHL season. Just something something that you think might be a little out there, but you think is going to happen.
Okay. I got JVR having 70 points this season.
Wow, really? Has he ever touched 70? I don't think so.
He's gotten close.
I think 60, 65 maybe.
He had 37 goals last year. I mean, it would surprise me if he wasn't close to 70.
I mean, he only had 20, 30 assists, something like that.
Maybe.
The Flyers' power play is pretty dominant. I think he'll take that up front spot.
Okay.
I just think he's going to be cashing in this year. So
yeah, who's your
bold prediction.
If you're the coach, who's your first power play unit?
I got Giroux, Voracek, JVR, Provorov. And then maybe who would be a righty on the point for that?
So you're taking out Ghost?
You're taking Ghost off the top unit? And
I'd put Ghost instead of Provorov.
Okay. I think I had it
go with Provorov.
I think
with Ghost.
I think I had it as Couturier.
Oh, maybe TK.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see it.
I think I had it as Couturier, Claude, JVR, TK, and Ghost.
Ghost, yeah.
And then that
I forgot about Couturier.
That lets you play Nolan Patrick, Jake Voracek, Wayne Simmonds on your second unit, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. Jeez. So,
yeah, I think the Flyers are going to be
a
good team this year.
They're loaded up front.
Yeah, the top six is disgusting. Your third line might include Oscar Lindblom and Wayne Simmonds.
Right.
On your third line.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And there's so much young talent that you don't know, you know, what the ceiling is yet. So it could get even better.
Right. Exactly. Their biggest weakness is, you know, on the back end, obviously, with defense and goaltending.
I disagree on defense.
Oh, man. No,
defense, they have Gudas and McDonald who are both stiffs.
Yeah, but if they're your third pair, they're a good third pair.
And Robert Hägg, who I don't love.
Yeah.
The goaltending, ever since I was a kid, has always been an issue. So I hope they figure that out really soon.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, it's like every year there's like two goalies being back and forth, and just no consistency at that position.
Yeah, I believe you're about the same age as me and Mike. So you remember the Boucher, Van Beesbrook, Esch.
The last good goalie they had was, I was going to say Čechmánek, was probably the last good goalie they had.
And he was only good for like a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly. But they haven't had a real good like franchise type goalie since what, Hextall? So
Leighton, Esch. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I mean, Leighton had a really good season, but there's just no consistent big name that's really been in there for a long period of time. It's always kind of like they get the scraps of whoever kind of releases goalies for free agency. They'll just pick someone up and hope it works.
And then there was the 11-year deal to Ilya Bryzgalov.
Yeah.
They're still paying him.
I think he was worth it just for the entertainment value.
Yeah, he's good. He definitely brought eyes to the team.
Yeah. So since we're talking about the Flyers, that transitions us into our discussion, the monthly breakdown, where we're looking at the Philadelphia Flyers 2018-2019 season month by month. Now, October ended with the Flyers going to Anaheim to start the West Coast swing. So November starts with road games against L.A., San Jose, and the Arizona Coyotes.
Mm.
The team then comes home for a five-game homestand against Arizona again, Chicago, Florida, New Jersey, Tampa. And then they're on the road in Buffalo, at home against the Rangers, on the road in Toronto, and they finish the month at home against Ottawa on November 27th. So looking at this, I think that's a big month for the Flyers. I think it's a lot of wins.
Yeah, there's some tough teams in there, but
it's 12. It's 12 games, but I think the Flyers win 9 of them.
9 out of 12, huh?
Yeah, I think
you said they're starting on the road.
Yeah, they're starting on the West Coast swing against the LA Kings, the San Jose Sharks, and the Arizona Coyotes.
The Kings are the second game, too. They had a game before that against the Ducks.
Yeah, they finish October with a game against the Ducks. So, 12 games. How many wins, Charlie?
Give them 8.
Okay, that's a good month.
I think there's some tough teams in there, and I think Buffalo specifically is going to be a lot better than people think this year. So, I think maybe that'll be the game they might, you know, run into some issues. Maybe.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is going to be better than people think, but I don't necessarily know if they're going to have that figured out by November. I think it's going to take
It's
going to take the Dolans and the middle stats and these young guys. It's going to take them a little bit of time to learn how to play together.
Sure, yeah.
Although them getting Skinner is scary.
Yeah, they still don't have goaltending. But
yeah, that's true.
Mike.
Yeah.
12 games. How many wins?
12 games. I'm actually looking at really the only team that really scares me is the Tampa. Tampa and Toronto.
Tampa and Toronto.
That's really it. So
are you going to go with 10?
No, nah, I'll match your 9.
You're gonna go with 9?
Okay. Yeah, I'll match your 9.
At some point, you and I are going to have to...
Are you guys not scared of the Devils at all this year?
No.
The Devils? No.
No.
I'm really not.
It's Taylor Hall and a bunch of people who are playing with Taylor Hall.
Well, you're going to get another year of his year. Their defense isn't particularly good. I mean,
a lot of it depends Schneider's on how Will Butcher good, is.
I mean...
And if Corey Will Schneider's healthy.
Schneider's a good goalie, but Butcher's... He's like a ghost type. I don't think he's going to make or break your team. I mean, you need more than... Butcher on defense.
I agree. That Toronto game is going to be fun, though. It's in Toronto. Whew, it's going to be good. That might be a 9-8 type of game.
Nah, I don't know about that. You don't see those anymore.
Toronto doesn't have defense. The Flyers don't really have goaltending. Both have high-powered offenses.
But I'm just looking at the schedule. I mean,
that's an easy month.
The Ducks and Kings always play them hard, regardless of how good or bad the Ducks and Kings are.
True.
For whatever reason, they just always play the Flyers hard.
True.
Then you got two against the Coyotes.
They're going to be better, but they're not going to be good.
Exactly. The Panthers, I think, are solid. So, I mean, that's probably a pick 'em.
I think the Flyers are on par with 7 of those teams. They're better than 2, and they're worse than 2. Better than three and worse than two.
Well, they play the Rangers and the Senators, who are both should be in the basement this year.
Right. Now, Charlie, how many Flyers games a year do you get to watch up there? Like, do you have the NHL season pass or whatever it is?
I get to watch quite a bit. I go through Reddit a lot to get my games. But I do have a NHL pass for Xbox.
Always completely legal streams, right?
Of course. Yes. We won't tell anybody about this at all. Nobody will hear this.
Super legal streams, yes. I get to catch quite a bit.
Well, that's good. Now, I know you don't have that much choice in the matter usually when you're following a link, but you prefer the home broadcast? You prefer Jim Jackson?
I do. JJ.
Dude, he's great. He's great.
Yeah.
Now, where are you located?
Where am I located now?
Yeah.
Right outside of Boston.
Okay, so you're in your Boston. So
40 minutes.
Okay, so the Bruins following up there is probably pretty, overwhelming.
Yeah. Actually, where I live with the host family that I've been with for probably 6 years now, they're all Bruins fans. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well.
So we always try to get to, if the Flyers come into town, we try to get out there.
Okay.
I mentioned it on the show a couple weeks ago. I'm actually heading up to that area the last week of October when the Flyers are in town, the 25th. So
they are in town.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to hook up and grab a beer or something while I'm up there.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Let me know. That'd be actually pretty cool.
It would actually be awesome. So
now I feel left out.
Good. So me and Mike both have 9 wins for the Flyers in November. Charlie, did you give us a number?
8.
Yeah, I said 8. Yeah.
You said 8?
Okay. Just kind of be a little different.
It's hard to win 9 out of 12.
It is
in
tough.
any
That's
given
a lot
month.
Of wins.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the West Coast swing there.
Yeah. So we're on our way out of here. Charlie, why don't you give our listeners all of your social media, where they can find you, where they can follow you, and
sure.
And that link again for that charity.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look up the link. But for everything else, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, basically any social, it's just going to be /Agent0.
Okay.
X-E-E-R-O for the 0.
Yep.
But everything's pretty clean in that regard. It's all the same.
Sounds good. Hold on for 1 second. I'm going to hit our little outro here, and I want to chit-chat with you before we lose you. So that'll do it for this week's show. You can find us on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can find me at Kay Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our brand new YouTube channel. Now, Mike, is there anything else you had to add?
I think that's it.
All right. Next week, we'll be back with our preview for the month of December for the Flyers. And that'll do it.
it was a little bit of deja vu.